Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the gold standard of customer service department here at Car Talk Plaza.
It's more than that, man.
Oh, this is a winner.
It's more than that. It's enhanced customer relations. The other day, my wife gets this thing in the mail. It looks like a wedding invitation. And she opens it up, and it's one of those cute little note cards. Here it is, see?
Yeah, I see it, yeah.
And
hold it up again. I think some of our audience may have missed it.
See, it's okay. Just a little note card, handwritten, and I don't think I should divulge the name of the store. But it's from a store that she's been to.
A clothing store.
She went to this clothing store.
Well-known clothing store, perhaps.
Well-known, national clothing store. And she couldn't remember when the last time was that she went there, but she's bought maybe one or two things in the last years. I mean, who knows? She gets this note.
Well, that you know of, anyway.
That I know of, yeah. Dear Joanne, handwritten. Dear Joanne, first name basis. How are you? It's been quite a while since I've seen you in the store.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to let you know how much great new product we have gotten in. Don't hesitate to give me a call if you have any questions. Maybe you'd like to set up an appointment. I'll be here for you. Thanks. Laurie. I mean, so my wife says, I'm going to answer it. So she writes this note. Dear Laurie, I can't tell you how important your note was to me. I've been in the throes of such a terrible depression that all my friends have abandoned me. But my behavior has been so unpredictable, who could blame them?
That's right.
For months now, I've talked to no one but my therapist. And then your note came. What a ray of sunshine in my otherwise bleak, pitiful, depressed existence. When can we get together? Can you do lunch on Thursday? Love, Joanne. Now, when Laurie gets this, she's going to say, who the hell is Joanne? Just like Joanne said, who the hell is Laurie?
I love it.
It deserved an answer.
It did, and maybe there'll be a return from Laurie.
Maybe they will. Maybe they will. I'll be here for you, man.
Wouldn't you be surprised if they did do lunch on Thursday? If you want to do lunch with us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, I'm Renee from the East Village in New York City.
Hi, Renee.
Renee with the three E's.
Three E's total.
Three E's total, yeah.
Only two at the end.
Oh, the East Village,
sweet.
One of my favorite places.
Oh, well, that's good.
What's going on, Renee?
At the Kettle of Fish.
All right. About a week and a half ago, my husband Christopher and I go out to double park the car for the alternate side of the street parking that we have in New York City.
Yeah.
And the car wouldn't start. And it's been doing this sometimes. Like, once in a while it won't start. So we open the hood because, you know, that's what you do.
That's what you do.
Well, lo and behold, laid out all over the engine are a chicken drumstick, a few wedges of lemon, some cold cuts, and a bag of Doritos.
Really?
And a few other things. I can't remember what they were. It was a complete picnic of all these foods laid all over the engine.
Had you loaned your cards to somebody?
No, but the question I have is, do you think the difficulty we're having starting the car once in a while is related to all the food that is under the hood?
Well, the answer is it shouldn't make any difference.
Right.
I mean, all this stuff is outside the engine.
Yes.
And so why should it not start? When it doesn't start, does it crank?
Yeah, it goes to like, but then it won't start.
Yeah.
But then half an hour later, okay, so we were going to write this whole note and put it on the dashboard and say, please, ticket givers, don't give us a ticket. We really can't start the car. But then we tried to start it again, like half an hour later.
Started
right up. No problem.
And it ran okay.
Yeah, it ran fine.
I think it's those trans fatty acids.
Yeah, maybe.
Is it a Honda?
No, it's an Acura Integra 1990 black.
Huh.
That's good. This happened this summer?
Yeah, this happened about a week and a half ago, and then and it happens every once in a while. It's been happening for about two or three months. It just won't start when we try to start it. And
well, we know the answer to that.
But this is the first time you found the remnants of a meal.
Right. Yeah, and then we looked just yesterday. We looked again, and there was more food.
It is.
Really?
So we put on lots of layers.
Somebody
of bags
in
like
your neighborhood is missing a dining room table, and they're using your engine.
But how could they open the hood?
Yeah. That's a darn good
That's my question.
But did it look like what was there had been placed there by humans? I mean, I'm thinking it could have been squirrels or rats.
Well, that's my husband's idea, that it's rats.
Yeah, I think rodents are storing the stuff on your engine. I can't imagine that yours is the only car. I think you need to canvass the neighborhood.
Yeah, we need to find out.
I think yours can't be the only car unless there's something attractive about your engine.
But the thing is, I feel sorry for the rats, especially now that Mayor Bloomberg has started this whole ridiculous war against rats when there's all this other horrible stuff going on.
Really? There's a war against rats?
Oh, yeah, it's completely idiotic.
Oh, then that answers the question.
Yeah, so they're...
What?
They're driving the rats out of their homes, and they've taken up residence...
Under the hood of your car.
They've got to go someplace.
Yeah, someday you're going to open that hood. Oh, that's going to be disgusting.
Don't ever open
at night,
the hood.
Not at night.
Oh, no.
No, if you see two eyes looking at... Oh, man.
Two? How about 30? Well, anyway, Renee, to go back to the original question...
Okay.
...which I've since forgotten. Oh, why didn't it start?
It cranks... But right. It won't start, even if there's no food under it.
Yeah, the food is a red herring. There might even be a red herring under there if you look hard enough. But what's going on is that your fuel pump relay is failing in hot weather. And it's especially likely to fail. Hondas and Acuras have this problem when the car is closed up, parked in the sun, or doesn't even have to be the sun. But on a hot day when the inside the car temperature goes too high, the fuel pump relay will fail. So you need to take it to whoever you take it to, Ratso Rizzo there, and have them replace the fuel pump relay.
The fuel pump relay. Okay. Now, can I just ask you this? We, about a month ago, we replaced the distributor cap and the rotor.
Good.
But we thought that was fixing it, and it fixed it for a day, but then it's...
Now, unrelated.
It didn't fix it at all. It just happened to start that day.
A good guess by whoever replaced the...
Oh, yeah, that was my husband, the philosopher.
That was your husband, the philosopher king. Yeah.
Well, he can certainly do the relay himself
if he
goes to the dealer and buys a new one.
Then he can crawl around...
He can crawl around under the dashboard.
Under the dashboard.
Okay.
Until he finds something looking at him.
Or he finds something that looks just like the thing he's got in his hand.
And he can unplug the old one and plug in the new one. Problem solved, except for the rats.
The rats.
Okay. Well, the rats, we'll leave it there so they can have a new home.
There you go.
Sure.
All right, Renee.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks for your help.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ben from Olympia, Washington.
Ben?
Ben.
Ben, yeah.
Hi, Ben.
From Olympia, I think the capital.
It is, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Capital City.
In the crossword puzzle the other day.
Anyway, I got an interesting question for you guys. I drove a Toyota 4x4 all through my undergrad and my law school into my second year where it completely blew up. And at that point, I was just tired of driving a truck around. So I went to the used car lot, and they had a Buick Century available. Well, I'm like a 6'4", 200-some-odd-pound guy. And so when I got into this, I mean, it was just enormous. It had all the space, and it was a V6, and it wasn't too bad. I mean, from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of newly single and moved into the area.
Newly
single.
Uh-huh.
And it's a total grandma car. So I need to figure out what would be the best way to go for getting a new sort of...
Drive this one into a tree. That would be step one.
Well, the Chiquitas are not coming around banging on your door when you drive this Buick?
Not really, surprisingly.
Well, before we get to recommending any car, any specific make or model, we need to find out from you a few important details.
Okay.
We know the 6'4", but we need to know what percentage of your head is covered with hair.
All of it.
All of it.
And uniform density?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
All right, well, I just wanted to make
How
sure.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, okay.
And what's the ratio of your waist size to your chest?
I'm not lying. Either my chest is bigger, so.
Chest is bigger.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's enough for us.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you like for cars?
Well, here's the thing. I live in the Northwest now. There's a lot of mountains and trees and all that. So I was trying to look between, like, either a really big, disgusting truck or like, a Volvo or something like that.
Well, Volvo is, I got to say, is almost as bad as the Century.
Yeah, yes. I don't think the Volvo is going to be a chick magnet.
Yeah.
But
only because it it speaks a little too much of, you know,
conservatism, safety.
Yeah.
Women want guys who are rough and reckless. You want to project that image?
I think you need to have
a gash on your cheek or something. I don't know.
But, sure. You might even try to get a peg leg. Yeah. And wear one of those bandana things on your
head. And a patch over one of
I guess. I'm not a motorcycle type guy either, but yeah.
No.
But you're
looking for a wild and crazy woman, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Sort of any at this point would be what I'm looking for.
6'4". Here we are. 6'4", got hair on his head and looking for a wild and crazy woman.
I think a truck is up your alley. I see another. I mean, even though you might not like the ride.
Sure.
It's better than watching TV alone every night.
I'm not sure I see a truck.
Okay.
What I see is a Jeep.
Well, that's a truck of sorts. But
I'm talking about a CJ7, man.
Really?
No.
That's him.
Really? No, I see you in a Toyota Tundra pickup truck.
Oh, that could be.
And this one's scream midlife crisis or anything like
no,
that?
No. I would buy one that says you like the outdoors, a little banged up.
Okay.
You know, and now we may have to work on your wardrobe next week.
We're going to do a makeover on it?
We may need to see a picture of you. But for now, work on the truck and see how that works out and call us back.
Okay.
Hey, I wish you the very best of luck, Ben.
Okay, I appreciate it.
See you later. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
You didn't like the Jeep, huh?
No, it's too... you know what drives Jeep Wranglers? Young women and guys who've had head traumas.
Well, I can see him in an old, beat-up Jeep.
Well, if you're too tall and your head sticks up above the windshield...
No, the top would always be off. It rains all the time.
It looks funny with that bulge in the top.
Yeah, all the bulge. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, anyway. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Next victim.
This is Fran from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Hey, Fran. What's going on, man?
Well, I got a question for you. It's kind of a simple question, but it's been bugging me and my friends for a while. Is it possible to do any damage to a car's motor by draining the oil out through the oil filter port?
How do you propose to do this?
Well, you just take the oil filter off.
Yeah.
And stick a pan under it.
Stick a pan under it. Tip the car back and forth.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I keep messing up the nut that goes into the oil pan.
Yeah, but by doing what you're doing, you can't get all the oil out.
That's the
problem. Yeah, you can if you start the car.
Yeah.
Friend!
No!
Well, what are you, crazy? You can start the car and you get all the oil out, but if you were 2 quarts low, wouldn't you be nervous about driving your car? And if you were 3 quarts low, you'd be even nervouser? And if you were 4 quarts low, which you are...
You'd be in outright panic.
Yeah.
But it's only briefly.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
But it adds up. And every time you do, I mean, there's no question that any sound engine can sustain running without oil for a few seconds.
Yeah.
But if you do this every 3,000 or 4,000 miles or as often as you change the oil, here's an interesting max min problem.
Exactly. You might as well not change the oil.
You'd be better off not changing
it. Doing more damage by having it run on no oil. Is this like a 75 Chevy?
No, the one I'm doing to it now is a 99.
Oh! Is it your wife's car?
No, it's my car.
A 99 what?
99 Subaru Forester.
Oh!
I won't tell you about the 97 Outback I had.
See,
we'll
this
go
is,
into that.
This is one reason.
Did you say had?
Yeah, had.
This
is one reason. There are lots of reasons why we should never buy a used car, but this is one of them. Because you never know what kind of a nutcase. Owned it before you.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, let's go back to why you adopted this little plan. You said you're having trouble with the nut?
Well, every time I go to take the thing off, I can't find the right size socket, so I end up putting a press wrench on it. Then when I tighten it back up, I always strip it.
Here's what you need to do. You go to the Subaru dealer.
Yeah.
Buy a new oil drain plug and a gasket.
Okay.
Then go to Sears.
Buy two of them.
Yeah, buy a couple of them.
Exactly. Okay.
Then go to Sears and buy the exact socket. It's either a 19 or a 21. I don't remember.
Right.
And buy, if you don't have a ratchet handle, buy one of those too. And that will fit the thing precisely.
All right.
And then keep it somewhere that you're not going to lose it. And then the second one that you buy, keep that one in your underwear drawer. So you'll always have a backup.
Yeah. Now, this is a
backup. That's why I used to keep the other one.
Oh, man.
We get them all, don't we?
Fran.
That's a Fran. I like the fact that you're thinking, at least.
I was just going to say, I love the fact that you have come up with the scheme that you came up with.
Yeah.
If you guys say don't do it, I won't do it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what Ted Williams used to say? If you don't think too good, don't think too much. see you later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Oh, man.
Okay, Tommy, I think it's time we take a little break so we can regroup.
Let me get this. By regroup, you mean we put our heads together, we think of new ways to solve people's car problems?
No, I mean literally regroup. I'm going into the other room with the Bugsy and the Berman group to get away from you.
Fine. We'll be back in just a minute.
Beep, 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 beep. Thunderbird. Beep, 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 beep. Beep,
yeah.
Beep, beep. Save some money on yourself far. Save a little more than a bum your car. Was a black and white Thunderbird. So new, black and white Thunderbird. So cool, black and white Thunderbird. Happy as I can be. Uh-huh. Well, I rode down the street. I beat my guy, do saw the car. Said, me, oh my, she's got a black and white Thunderbird. At last, black and white Thunderbird. Real fast, black and white Thunderbird. Happy as we can be.
And even though Robert Siegel makes a mental note to refill his blood pressure medication whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish...
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean...
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the fine art of killing time at work.
Oh, how now, sweet it is.
In addition to distracting you from your insignificant car problems on the weekend, we also have taken on the awesome responsibility of helping you kill time during the week from the sanctity of your very own cubicle.
Oh, really now? How do we do that?
Should you find yourself with an extra, I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours a day to kill at work this
it
week.
It happens.
Just surf on over to our website, cartalk.com, and there you will find a classic Car Talk puzzler from the Puzzler Archives for your perusal. So,
I would have said, and there you will find for your perusal a classic Car Talk puzzler, because that's a misplaced.
Well, especially if you don't know the name,
prepositional
if you don't
phrase.
Know the definition of the word perusal, you might have thought that the puzzle will help your condition. Maybe
oh,
perusal
yeah.
is
it's
a condition.
It's for your perusal.
It's for your perusal.
Oh,
shrink
man.
Perusals without surgery. Anyway, every week this summer, while our puzzler is on vacation, we will post another archival puzzler to soothe your aching perusal. and it'll challenge you during those particularly dull hours at work. Those hours like between 9 and 12 and 1 and 5.
Yeah, that other hour, that's always okay. 12
oh, yeah.
to 1.
No problem. Now, if you'd like to call us, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
Why have you given up on the 888-2-5-7-9? What you gave up on that?
Oh, the 888-227-8255. I haven't given up on that.
I haven't used it all day.
888-227-8255.
Thanks.
Okay.
I feel bad.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Teresa calling from New York City.
Teresa?
Yes.
With an H?
No H.
No H.
No.
T-E-R-E-S-A. Yeah, I like it that way.
Me too.
From where?
New York City.
New York City. What's up?
Well, I'm calling because my husband thinks it's unsafe to wear a seatbelt for in-town driving.
He's a nut.
He wears a seatbelt for the highway, but 17 years ago when he had his driving instruction, they told him that it was actually if you get hit from the side in town, low speeds, it's dangerous because you're stuck there.
So if you get hit from the side...
You're not stuck there. What's stuck?
You mean trapped in the car?
Yeah, like you're stuck in the seat. Like if you got hit from the side, you weren't strapped in. You could move away from the collision.
Oh, I see. So if you saw, for example, remember that great scene in Marathon Man when the oil truck broadsides...
The
Vice Engel's brother. Now, if he had been able to jump from the driver's seat into the passenger seat, it would have taken about another nanosecond before the explosion reached him.
Yeah.
But your husband's theory is that if you could jump into the other seat, if you weren't constrained by the seatbelt, then that the chances of that happening and your being able to react that quickly. How old is your husband?
32.
I used to work with a guy who claimed that he had been practicing the following maneuver. This was many years ago, and it was seatbelts weren't even around at the time. Here's what this guy had practiced: putting his arm on the seat of the top of the back of the seat, and leaping into the back seat,
vaulting into the back seat.
His theory: when he sees that there's an imminent head-on collision, he was trained to get himself in the back seat before the semi hit him.
But if he didn't make it, if he missed by a fraction of a second.
I should tell you, this guy was otherwise crazy in all respects.
Well, I mean, I've got to admit that I like the idea. I mean, if you were going to be in a head-on collision, wouldn't you want to be in the back seat?
I would rather be lying on the floor in the back seat.
Yeah, but I think your husband, on the other hand, well, not on the other hand, like this guy that Tommy worked with, is wacko. Yeah.
Don't forget, you could always come up with a scenario in which it's better to be with no seatbelt than with a seatbelt.
We always get calls from wackos who say things like, well, if my car ever fell off the Brooklyn Bridge into the water, I wouldn't want to be sinking to my death unable to get the seatbelt off. I'd rather have no seatbelt. And the answer, to those questions is, well, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way you're going to die. And those kinds of accidents where you get broadsided, where you'd like to jump to the other side of the car, happen without your ever knowing they're happening. Somebody runs a light and boom, you get broadsided in the blink of an eye and you could never react. And I think your husband would be safer being belted. In fact, give him a belt for us.
And the force of the impact wouldn't push him out of the way at all. It would be...
Yeah, I think all of the science, the complete body of scientific evidence in this area supports putting the seatbelt on.
All the time.
All the time and leaving it on.
Even if you're going across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Good, that's what I wanted to hear.
Teresa, we wish you the very best.
Good luck. It's going to be a tough battle for you, Teresa.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
My name is Julian Awad. I'm from Philadelphia, PA.
Julian.
Yes, that's me.
From Philadelphia. Got it.
What's up,
right,
Julian?
This is a situation. I had an Eagle Talon that I brought with me from Colorado.
Mm.
Came, got to Philadelphia. The transmission went out on it. I had the transmission repaired, but in the meantime, I bought another car. So once I had the other car, the Eagle Talon sat in the back of my house for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm.
I thought, I need to sell this car. At that point, every time I started it, for the first minute or two, it would sit there and it would, warm up, and the idle would start warming up and it would go vroom, 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 like that for about a minute or two until it got warm. Then finally, it would stop.
It would stop surging.
Yeah, it would stop surging. Like
And it would just run smoothly.
Yep. So what happened is a guy came along, he wanted to buy the car. I said, sure, and I told him, I said, you have to warm the car up for at least 60 seconds.
Oh, you fool. You should have had it all warmed up before you got there. You don't know that trick?
No, I did. I had it all warmed up, and then I told him. I said, we drove around, he liked the car. I said, okay, there's a couple of things. One of the things is that you have to warm the car up every single time because the idle goes up and down. It kind of warms up. And I said, I think it has to do with the altitude because, you went from 6,000 down to sea level.
And it hasn't adjusted yet.
Yeah, and it's still thinking about it. That was a good theory. Did he buy that?
He bought it.
Did he buy the car?
Yeah, he bought the car. But listen to this.
Yeah.
He opened the hood, and he heard a tick, 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 tick. And he said, oh, there's got to be a valve tap in there. Mm. And I said, a valve tap? What's a valve tap? So he explained it to me. Called my mechanic down the street, and the guy walked over and had a look at the car, and he says, yeah, I think it might be a valve tap. Go ahead and put your foot on the accelerator. When I did that, it sped up. The valve tap went even faster. It was like, we're going real fast.
Right, yeah.
So he said, yeah, he thought it was, and he said, it sounds like it's in one cylinder, and it's in the arms going up and down. He had to replace the arms. And it's dual overhead cam, 16 valves, so he said that'll be four arms. And so the guy said he still wanted the car, but said, if you know, would I pay for all the fix? I said, sure. So we wrote it out.
$2,800.
Okay.
I sold him the car based on the fact that I would fix the valve tap up to a certain amount, and the sale would go through. But what I'm concerned with is the first thing my mechanic did is call me back and said, well, actually, it's not $50 for the parts. I'm wondering if this valve tap is something that's pretty serious and can it lead to a lot of other things.
Oh, so the transaction has not actually taken place yet.
No, it took place.
It did.
We wrote it out. He paid me. I gave him the title. And it's all based on, you know, with the idea that I'm going to go ahead and fix it in good faith.
But who's got the car now?
He's got the car.
And he's taking it to your mechanic to get it fixed?
Yep.
You have a good relationship with this mechanic?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know the guy. He's a good guy.
Can he be bribed?
But that's my question. Yeah.
Well, no. I think what you have is you have a sticky lifter.
A sticky lifter.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't think you need to replace things.
Or maybe even a sticky valve.
The mechanic said that seeing a slick 50 would fix it.
Slick 50 might do it.
No, you need to go down to the parts store and spend $9.95 on any bottle that has the word miracle on it.
Miracle?
Miracle.
Yeah, like engine rebuild in a can.
Miracle engine rebuild.
You
want to
add something like Rizlone.
Rizlone. Yes, indeed.
Good. Or any of those other oil system additives that free up sticky lifters, etc.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what's wrong. And I'll tell you what did it. Months of sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would convince the guy to drive it for 6 months before you do anything. You know, put the money aside.
Yeah.
And see if you can move out of the state in the meantime, because you know you'll be just harder to get if you're in like Maryland.
Well, if you,
I'm going back to Colorado next week.
Do you know where this guy lives? The guy who's got the car.
Yeah, I do.
Sneak over there some night and pour a can of Rizlone in the gas tank. And in 3 days, he'll call you back and tell you that the car is perfect.
Now tell me, what is the name of this?
Rizlone.
Well, I don't know, but Rizlone is an oil additive, actually, but they probably do make something you can add to the gas, and there are additives that you can put in the gas tank that will free up sticky valves, like Tecron is one, made by Chevron.
Right.
Go to any parts store or any gas station, and they will all have something that says...
Yeah, parts stores are better. You need to go like a Pep Boys and just buy one of everything.
Yeah, and pour them all in his gas tank at night when he's not around.
Right.
And it will fix it, Julian. You can be guaranteed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Trust us on this.
Rest assured.
Okay.
Say it, Julian.
It's going to fix it, Julian. Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
Wait a minute. You mind if I read some mail?
Do I mind? No, go ahead, man.
Okay. Here we go. This qualifies as one of the great ideas of all time. And it comes from Mike Ramsey. And we don't know where Mike is from, but his name is Mike. I have come up with the money-making idea of the century.
You're going to divulge this to everybody?
I'm going to just divulge it because no one can capitalize on it except us.
Okay.
I wanted to give you the opportunity to be in on the ground floor. In recent years, there's been a rash of new theme restaurants, most having some sort of entertainment theme. There are restaurants with a sports theme, rock and roll theme, Motown theme, Hollywood theme, country theme. But one segment of the entertainment industry is conspicuously absent, and that's where I came up with my idea.
Uh-huh.
The NPR Cafe.
Oh.
There are still a few obstacles to this. Where the Hard Rock Cafe has rock and roll memorabilia and Planet Hollywood has movie memorabilia, the only NPR memorabilia I can think of is coffee mugs and tote bags. I'm also having trouble with the menu and the cute names for the menu items. So far, all I've come up with is the Nina Totenberger.
I like it.
And the Silvia Pajoli Ravioli. Being two clever people, I figured you could help with this. Best wishes, Mike Ramsey.
It is a brilliant idea.
Huh? Mike?
Two Totenbergers rare with a slice of onion.
The Nina Totenberger and the Sylvia Poggioli ravioli. This guy has got a future in something. Mike, give us a call. You know the private number.
Here it is. Well, if you don't know it, it's 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Deborah Rodriguez, and I'm calling from Haverhill, Massachusetts.
Deborah?
Yes.
Is that a five-letter Deborah or a seven-letter Deborah?
It's a D-E-B-O-R-A-8-7.
Seven. Yeah, that's the real spelling.
That's the real thing. None of this shortcut stuff.
Haverhill.
Haverhill. Hey, that's right. Are you familiar with Haverhill, Massachusetts?
Never heard of it.
I have heard of it, you know, and I don't have the faintest idea where it is.
Well, it's north of Boston, about 2 hours north of Boston in rush hour traffic and a half hour without rush hour.
Got it.
A friend of mine says that I'm from New Hampshire because I'm right on the border, but I'm not. I'm Massachusetts.
We can tell that.
Yeah. There's a big, big difference.
There is a huge difference.
You go over that line and your IQ will drop 30 points.
You'll lose 5 teeth.
And my husband turns into my brother.
Exactly, right.
We won't go there, but anyway.
So what's up, Deborah?
Well, actually it's my husband's car. It's an 89 Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah.
And this car, every once in a while, there seems to be no pattern. When I go to start it, it makes this very loud, metallic...
grinding noise.
Yeah, like a barking seal kind of noise. Exactly.
Like gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
That's it. And that's exactly what it is. It's gnashing of teeth,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's gnashing of teeth. Did you just make that up?
No.
No.
No, not really. Yeah. This is an automatic transmission Golf?
Yes. Mm,
I knew it.
Uh-huh. So is this something that I need to be worried about?
Yes.
No. Yes, no?
Yes, you do.
I do.
How long has it been doing this?
Oh, a long time.
But how, for every 10 times...
What's the frequency?
For every 10 times that you turn that key to start the car, how many times does it do this?
Usually it only does it once. The most it's ever done it is 3 times in a row.
How many miles on the car?
175,000.
I would do nothing.
You would do nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what is it?
I mean, when it happens.
If you don't have to do anything, why do you want to know what it is? I mean, what difference does it make?
When it does happen, all you need to do is make sure you stop right away, which, of mm-hmm. course, you do. You let go of that key right away.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the radio will keep playing because it's a VW.
The radio has been stolen 4 times.
Well, of course, they can hear it playing. They know you have a radio. The damn thing shut off. It would be stolen.
As long as the second you hear it happen, you let go of the key
and just
keep driving.
What's wrong is that the gears on the flywheel that are supposed to mesh smoothly with the gears on the pinion of the starter are all chewed up. So that when that starter gear, when you turn the key and that starter gear pops out to turn the flywheel, it's hitting teeth that are all chewed up.
Oh.
You've got one spot of maybe a half a dozen teeth that are chewed up, and the other 50 teeth are okay, and that would explain why 1 out of 10 times...
See, and if you did live in New Hampshire, you wouldn't notice you were missing teeth.
See, you could have just left it. I mean, it might have just slipped by.
I couldn't do it.
I know.
I couldn't do it.
But by the way, exactly. when you do get this fixed, I mean, this is several hundred dollars, so if you decide to get it fixed.
No, don't.
I wouldn't fix it.
Don't touch it.
Okay.
Don't touch it. I mean, if it gets to be so frequent that every single time you try to start the car, it does it, then you really have to start thinking about it.
You'll know, Deborah,
yes.
You will know when it's time to start thinking about it. It's like when Berman had that growth on his head.
That wasn't a growth. That was his head.
He knew when it was time. See you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay, look, it's time for a little break.
What, are we giving thanks again? What, for the new puzzler?
No, we're giving thanks that there is no new puzzler. But lots of old puzzlers I'll explain in a minute.
Great.
That wife of mine, the suspicious kind, she says that I'm quite a flirter. But I've been a good boy all of the time, and I wouldn't do nothing to hurt. She'll tan my hide for spending the night with Betty Lou or Alice. But I'm sleeping alone in this wreck I own, I broke down south of Dallas. When I stumble home at the break of dawn, she better not be suspicious. I'm about at the end of my rope, and she better not act too vicious. I'm covered with grease from my head to my feet, my hands are cut and calloused. I spent all my bucks on a broke-down truck, a broke-down South of Dallas.
And even though the NPR speech coach tells us to take like 30 years off to rest our voices whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used Puzzler. Now, as both of our listeners know, every summer the Puzzler goes where?
A vacanza,
as they say in Italia. Yes. But we know from your calls and letters that this is a very difficult time.
Withdrawal.
For both of you.
It's withdrawal.
Some folks just can't seem to go a week without a Car Talk Puzzle. So for you, we have what?
Electroshock therapy? Padded room?
No. For you, we have our classic Puzzler archive. Ooh. Every week that the Puzzler is on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk Puzzler on our website. So if you're bored at work or bored with your chat group, just head to cartalk.com, and every week you'll find a new used Puzzler there. Pretty nifty, eh?
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
And of course, we always welcome your Puzzler suggestions.
More than welcome. Desperate.
Desperate. Yeah, we beg. We plead. We're counting on. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So if you have something, send it to us. You can either email it to us via the website, or you can mail us your suggestion at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. And if you want to call us, the number is 888-227-8255, which is also 888-CAR-TALK.
Isn't that, what are the chances
of that? What are the chances of that? Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joan calling from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Joan. My brother's going to ask you if you're a lawyer, politician.
Are you?
I am not a lawyer. I'm not a politician.
How about lobbyist?
I'm a foreign service officer.
No
a
kidding.
Diplomat.
Yeah, what do you do?
Did you go to Thunderbird University?
I didn't go to Thunderbird. I went to University of Massachusetts.
Really?
No kidding.
This is a hometown question, but it's an international question.
What are you doing in America if you're a foreign service agent here?
Well, I'm learning French.
And who, pray tell, is paying for you to learn French?
The government.
Actually, you, pray tell, are paying for you to learn French.
Yeah, well, can you send me the tapes afterwards so I can learn, too?
Avec plaisir. Avec plaisir. As we say in Lowell, Massachusetts, oui, avec plaisir, monsieur.
What'd you say? You're a foreign service what?
Officer. A diplomat.
But are you a diplomat or are you a diplomat in training, a dit, as we call them?
I am dits, a full-blown diplomat, back from an overseas assignment, just picking up another language before going back again.
Oh, where were you? What were you doing?
I was in Madrid, I was in Mexico, I was in Guatemala, and I was in Madrid the first time.
Oh, so tú hablas español.
Oui, so oui.
Yeah, see, that French is already taken over.
Oh, and so where are you trying to go to St. Martin or something?
I'm going to Madagascar.
Madagascar? They don't speak French in Madagascar, do they?
They speak French in Malagash.
Oh.
And so I'm going to learn French now, and then when I get there, I'll learn Malagash.
Yeah, and we are paying for this.
We are the taxpayers. You're getting your money's worth.
I mean, I'm sure that we need more people in Madagascar to solve the many diplomatic problems.
Well, it's a quagmire.
It's a quagmire. Yeah,
we don't use the word quagmire.
No, that's a bad word.
No.
Exactly.
That would be a confrontational kind of word.
Undiplomatic.
We use the word issue.
Excellent bilateral relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, Joan, this has been very enlightening. Thank you for calling.
You have a car question.
I do. I have bought a GeoTracker, sight unseen. Matter of fact, the GeoTracker is in Madagascar, which was one of the main reasons I bought it. It was already there.
That's why you bought it sight unseen, because it was there and you were here.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And they tell me that I need to bring the fluids and the car parts and maybe tires. But I don't want to. I only have two suitcases. So how many fluids and car parts? What do I bring?
That's a good question.
Exactly.
The person from whom you bought the tracker.
I bought it from my predecessor, who is about to arrive here to study Chinese.
Right, so he's getting kicked out, and he's leaving the thing behind, and you figure, what the heck? Does it run, at least?
They say it does.
Well, what does he mean by parts? I mean...
Well, they just say, as a rule, to bring parts because you can't buy parts.
Well, you don't
locally.
Know what you're going to buy, so you're going to have to send them over as needed.
Well, see, that was why I was calling you. I didn't know whether there was sort of like a first aid kit that nobody should travel without their fan belt or...
I mean, the tires may be worn out, so you may want to have four tires shipped there, and the previous owner could tell you that.
Okay.
But assuming the thing runs, I mean, the only thing I'd bring is maybe motor oil and a filter. You shouldn't need to do... You're going to be on, what, a little island? How far can you drive?
Actually, it's the fourth biggest island in the world.
You'll be on this huge island. You'll be driving all over the place.
But, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, it's an island, but it doesn't mean... I mean, there are other vehicles there. I can't believe that you can't go buy four tires...
Well,
somewhere.
Well, that's exactly what I thought, because I only have two suitcases.
Sure. I mean, come on.
So I can be relaxed and happy then.
I would establish a contact somewhere.
Like, are you going to give me your home number?
No.
You need to establish.
I don't have any stinking tracker parts.
You need to establish a contact in Casablanca.
Ooh.
I would establish relationship with a dealership.
Ah, that's a good idea.
So that they know who you are.
Uh-huh.
You give them $1,000 and you set up a little account.
Right.
And you say that from time to time, I will need stuff.
Right.
And I would like to be able to email you.
That's a splendid idea.
And you can put a little oil filter in the diplomatic pouch.
Exactly.
And send 007 over with it.
Exactly.
To Madagascar.
Perfect.
By satellite.
Thank you. And if you guys, when you do Car Talk International, we'd be delighted to host you.
We're on in Madagascar, you know.
You're on in Madagascar?
Yeah, Madagascar. MPR, Madagascar Public Radio.
My life is now complete.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You won't be without us.
We're on in French there.
C'est bien.
I mean, Hey, thanks for calling, Joan.
Thank you.
You filled us in on where our money's going, and I'm upset.
And I'm, if nothing else, Joan, it sounds like you're having a great time.
Why
well,
not?
Yeah, because we're talking to you, so thank you very, very much.
See ya.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Talk
bye-bye.
About
sure,
boondoggles.
She's living it up like Don King, learning a foreign language a month.
Sure. What do you want to learn? Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
I mean, what? This
Pick
is,
a place.
This is like junior year abroad paid for forever.
We'll teach you the language, and we'll
put you up, and we'll give you a car, and you fool around, and you talk to a few of the people there, and you...
And when you get sick of the place, you insult one of the locals, and they'll get sick
of it. Or, as you say, there is an indiscretion. We'll send you somewhere else, like to China, and we'll never find you again. This is where the money goes, huh?
Not bad.
What the hell are we thinking?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Bill, where are you from, Bill?
I'm from Knoxville.
Bill from Knoxville.
Yeah, it almost rhymes.
It almost rhymes, yeah. If you were writing country music, it would be good enough.
Right. Well, that'd be Nashville. That's a little further west.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, I have been looking for a new car. Well, not a new car, but a used car, and I want to try to save some money on a car, because basically I'm cheap.
Yeah.
Well, what I found is a pretty cheap car, but it has a quirk to it. It's a reconstructed car.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
That
sounds fascinating.
That might be okay.
It might. It's a 94 Crown Victoria.
And it was totaled.
It was totaled by the insurance company, but it's been repaired. Now, in talking with the guy who has it for sale, he's done this for some time, and he seems fairly honest and like a good guy.
He's in the business of taking cars that were totaled by the insurance company and make them untotaled.
Right.
Huh.
It's going to have a reconstructed title, which is going to hurt the value of it.
Does that mean it's all taped together?
I hope not. That won't fly. But it's a 94 Crown Victoria with 54,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Apparently it's been hit on the driver's side, and this guy had to replace both doors and the door post.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what I need to look for, what kind of things, are going to go on with this. What are the pitfalls?
Well, I mean, the worst thing that happens when you have an accident like that is that the frame gets bent.
And he said that he doesn't even think, it's my understanding that the rocker panel wasn't even replaced, so apparently it was hit up high enough, I don't think it would bend the frame on this car.
Well,
he said he would warranty his work. He can't warranty Detroit's work, but he'll warranty his work, so that's a good sign.
I would take it to a body shop, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I would take it to the best body shop in Knoxville, the guys with the best reputation, and ask them to critique the work that was done on it.
All right.
Then I would take it to an alignment shop.
Right.
And see if all four wheels are pointing in the same direction.
More or less.
At any one time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I would have the car, take it to your regular mechanic and have it checked out in general, as if there were nothing wrong with it, as if you didn't know the history of it.
Okay.
You want to know condition of the engine, the transmission, all this stuff is in.
Sure. Like
don't forget, there's always the possibility that it says 54K on it, but someone had the odometer unhooked for 80,000 miles. You don't know that either.
Right, and I figure I have to at least get to talk to the previous owner to see what the history is before this accident.
And that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good
idea. And you could find out from him how extensive the accident was,
right.
Assuming that he's still alive.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, a good shot.
And if not, there are ways to communicate with him.
We can help you there, too.
You guys will take care of that?
We have the psychic network. We'll put you in touch with La Toyota Jackson.
Oh, my goodness.
How much does he want for this car?
He wants $79.95 for it.
Yeah.
And in all my research, the retail price is going to be, for the mileage and all the considerations, somewhere in the neighborhood of $11,000. So the savings are pretty good.
Yeah, and if it was done correctly, it could be okay. And, of course, this is only his asking price. You could get it for $69.95.
Right.
It doesn't sound like a bad deal, assuming that you go through the steps that my brother just outlined.
All right.
Good luck, Bill.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Myrna from Middletown, New Jersey.
Myrna
as M-Y.
Like in Loy.
Myrna Loy, yes.
Myrna Loy. Boy, there aren't many Myrnas around. Where are you from?
Middletown, New Jersey.
I think the other Myrna Loy was from Middletown, New Jersey, too. Anyway, what's cooking, Myrna?
Well, I'm going through a nasty divorce, and a while back, a girlfriend of mine caught my husband lingering at the back of my vehicle, and I mentioned it to my attorney, and he said that he possibly may have placed a GPS tracking device on the vehicle, because this is all the rage now. And
or a
cases.
Bomb.
No. And my question to you is, how can I find it, and what can I do about it to get rid of it?
Oh, so
why?
So you think...
Well, you could use this...
to your advantage.
Absolutely use it to your advantage. You could... If he's really tracking you, he could think that you're doing all kinds of wonderful stuff that you would never do anyway. Let's think about that.
But the thing is, I'm not.
Yeah, you could leave it at his best friend's house.
Ooh.
You just drive your car there.
He's put this tracking device on your car.
He's
and wherever
track
you go,
you.
He's going to track you. And he's going to say, she was parked at Bob's house overnight.
That's good.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
No, but he might bring it up during the divorce proceedings.
And I could say you told me.
And yeah, then,
yeah, I was just playing a joke.
Yeah, then you could say, well, I knew you would put this device on my car. One of my neighbors saw you, and I thought I would have some fun with it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so the divorce has not
taken...
And
you can say, can't take a joke yet, huh?
So you're in the throes of this nasty divorce.
Yes, yes.
Ah. So who's the nasty party?
The nasty party? Well,
him.
I need to point a finger, but it's not me.
It's not you. Well, you don't sound like the nasty type, although I think you might have a vindictive bone in your body. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're laughing too much.
Thank you.
So who's going to get most of the loot? That's the important thing.
Oh, gosh.
Are you going to clean up?
That's not my intention to clean up.
It's not your intention.
But he as everything's fair.
But he must be afraid that you are going to try to clean up, and that's why he wants as much dirt on you as possible.
Actually, he's been kind of snoopy the entire time I've known him.
Snoopy?
The entire time you've known him?
Oh, he would read my emails and go through my mail and just, you know, where were you and all the time.
Oh, so you can really mess with him.
Oh, yeah.
Where were you?
The interesting part was he never wanted to let me know where he was.
Right, because
How long were you married?
7 years.
Seven years.
What took you so long?
But I knew him for a lot longer than that.
But here's what you do. So take it to your trusted mechanic, which is not the mechanic that he uses, but some other trusted mechanic.
I have a trusted mechanic.
And put this thing on the lift. And I trust that in 1 minute they're going to find it.
Really?
Well, he couldn't have. First of all, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb because anyone who works on whatever car you have, what do you drive?
I have a 2004 Ford Explorer.
Okay. Well, there aren't many places to hide this thing that can't be found out.
Okay.
And if he did it by himself, by just basically lurking behind the car, he must have stuck it with a magnet to the undercarriage.
Ooh.
Yeah, it'll be pretty easy to find.
Yeah, and the flashing red light ought to give it away, too.
Yeah. This could be a lot of fun.
Well, but don't forget, the other thing you could do is take this thing off and put it on someone else's car. Right? Like your clergyman's car. So you could do that. I mean, that would be, or better than that, put it on a different car every day. You have the power, Myrna. You can mess up his mind. It is very sneaky.
It might be messed up already.
That's great advice.
Yeah, I think you should sit down and think of a good list of people's cars that you could put this on. Yeah.
I'm going to make an appointment to go to my mechanic tomorrow.
But find the thing first. I'm sure it's a portable device, and you can move this from one car to the other. You can have a ball doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
See you, Myrna.
Bye-bye.
Send us a report, will you?
Yeah. I will.
Oh, absolutely. We may have to do a website feature on it. See you, Myrna.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
No, you're not talking to me.
No, I wasn't, actually. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. We had help this week from Connie Bridgeford. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisors, just back from the Waikiki hot kimchi, goat's milk brie, mashed green peas, sliced kiwi, pear coulis, creme cassis, pinot gris, decaf tea, dry chambly, Pepsi free, chilled IC, chicken of the sea, my tummy and me jamboree. It's John Bugsy Lawler. You all right, Bugs? Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our defense attorney is Guilty Azel. Our staff ornithologist from the McMurdo office is Marsha the Penguins. Tom's personal dating preparation coach is Edna Bag. Our shop foreman is Constance Ubervision. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the preppy pagans in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
I just said that, didn't I?
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1133, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the flying car.
We had a flying car in the garage once.
No, that doesn't count.
Falling off the lift doesn't count as flying?
No.
Well, this week on the website, we update you on the latest flying cars coming to market, one of which already has NHTSA approval and fits in a standard garage, which is more than I can say for the Honda Pilot.
Yeah.
Everything you want to know about the latest flying cars right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though man-eating Atlantic sharks complain that we give the East Coast a bad name, whenever we say it, this is NPR.